Kamuri ya Zimbabwe.
Hello, Zimbabwe, and welcome to Live Talk. We're coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington, and I'm your host, Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye. Today on Live Talk, we're looking at the continued incarceration of former CCC lawmaker Job Sikala and the ZANU-PF National Congress currently underway in Gweru. But first, the many Ukrainian Hamas October 7 assault on Israel civilians bears stark similarities to Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine last year, amid fears that the Israeli-Gaza war will distract the world's attention from their own ordeal. Ukraine's Jewish community leaders and politicians are hoping the U.S. will continue to back both Israel and Ukraine. VOA Eastern Europe Bureau Chief Miroslava Gonganze reports from Kyiv.
In this one of the oldest synagogues in the center of Kyiv, military chaplains from different faith came together for supper. At the dinner table, they discussed the challenges of war. Having been on the front line of the Russian-Ukrainian war since the beginning of the full-scale invasion, they see many parallels between their fight and the recent attack on Israel by Hamas militants. Rabbi David Millman explains the origin of the Israeli-Hamas conflict to his colleagues. He says he was shocked by the attack.
First, I was horrified. My kids are there. My grandkids are there. Then I could not understand how this was possible. We did not expect anything like this. We were expecting Hezbollah, Iran, but Hamas? Compared to Hezbollah and Iran, they are just pocket bandits. The intelligence did not pay enough attention to them.
As Millman sees it, the Russian assault on Ukraine and the Hamas attack on Israel followed the same playbook. He said Hamas could not have carried out this attack without serious help and planning from outside. He suspects Russia, although he says he has no evidence. Rabbi Millman shows us President Volodymyr Zelensky's chair together with the Israeli ambassador's chair in the front row of this synagogue. Millman has two homelands, Ukraine and Israel, and he feels both countries need support to combat aggression. Igor Samovolos, executive director at Ukraine's Association of Middle East Studies, says both wars involve the same enemies of democracy.
On a strategic level, there is no doubt that Russia and Iran are involved. And since Iran and Russia are our enemies, it can't fail to affect our conflict. It's becoming more global. According to Joe Biden, it is part of the world confrontation between democracies and autocracies, and we feel its effect on Ukraine.
Ivana Klimpush-Sensadze, the chair of the Parliamentary Committee on Integration of Ukraine to the EU, says many Ukrainians see the attack on Israel as part of the same war that Ukraine is fighting. She supports President Biden's approach of combining an aid package for Ukraine and Israel.
As far as I understand, considering all the nuances of the American politics right now, internal politics, this is a very smart approach in explaining to American public what the American people should stand up against in supporting both Israel and Ukraine.
Ukraine has significance for many Jewish people. Mm-hmm. Past Israeli leaders Golda Meir and Ariel Sharon had roots in the country. And Millman says many Jewish religious figures are buried here. He says he prays daily for both lands to be supported in their fight for survival. Miroslava Gongadze, VOA News, Kyiv, Ukraine.
ZANU-PF leader and president of Zimbabwe, Emmerson Mnangagwa, today called on his party to protect their vote, which he said he was given by the people. He said despite opposition from his detractors, his party will rule for another 5 years and beyond.
The collective voice of our people
gives MPF a new 5-year mandate to serve the people of our motherland, Zimbabwe, leaving no one and no place behind. Our collective vote must be respected and safeguarded. Whether our detractors like it or not, ZANU-PF isharamba ichingo tonga, tichingo tonga, tigongo tonga, machingo tsamu. May I therefore sincerely thank you, members of the party, including all our churches, for providing the requisite leadership and heeding my call for peace, unity, tolerance, love, and non-violence before, during, and after the elections. Congratulations.
That was President Emmerson Mnangagwa speaking at the ZANU-PF conference in Gweru in a video courtesy of ZANU-PF. We now take you to Harare, where jailed CCC former Member of Parliament for Zengeza West, Job Sikala, will continue his incarceration after a Harare magistrate dismissed his application for discharge today. The magistrate, speaking at the close of the state's case, say there was enough evidence that Sikala committed public violence in a matter in which he is jointly charged with Chitungwiza North lawmaker Godfrey Sithole. Sikala has been in jail for over 500 days. He was arrested last year for allegedly causing public violence after opposition CCC supporters clashed with ZANU-PF supporters following the murder of opposition activist Mo Blessing Ali. His lawyer, Harrison Nkomo, speaks to Studio 7 reporter Mlondolozi Ndlovu on what transpired in court today.
Yes, we had applied for discharge at the closure of the state case. Our argument basically being that the evidence that was led by the state to the stage of closure of his case did not in any way establish a prima facie case. What is a prima facie case? A prima facie case is a case whereupon the court considering it is evidence that it is capable of convicting. But the magistrate disagreed with the defense and dismissed the application, and the matter was rolled over to the 20th of November for the continuation of the defense case.
Mm. Do you think there are any chances that Sikala will make it in some of these cases?
I'll be clear. Sikala's position is he did not commit any offense. And I think he has communicated that to the public. He has looked at the papers. Remember, he's a lawyer in his own right. And he's clear that the evidence that the state has against the charges that they are putting are not in any way sufficient to warrant the conviction. So he's very, in summation, he's very confident that he did not commit an offense, and one day, courts of the law shall find him not guilty.
That there was one of Job Sikala's lawyers, Harrison Nkomo, speaking to Studio 7 reporter Mlondolozi Ndlovu in Harare. CCC member and lawmaker Ellen Chiriedenga also weighed in on the continued incarceration of Mr. Sikala.
Tukuona kuti zvinhu zvokuitika izvi kuratidza kuti tiri kutongwa nevanhu vane utsinye kutongwa apa tikuona kuti baba Sikala vatova negore vari musungwa mhosva yacho haisi kubuda pachena and trial yacho haisi kuratidza kuti tiri kuenda kupi apa totarisa zvekare kuti kune angari nhengo yedu yeparamende akarohwa zvikuru nevanhu vekuvesi vezanu-PF nesystem vanhu vakawanda vatungamiri vemusangano maMPs macancellors vane macourt cases saka tiri kuona tikuri kushungurudzwa vanhu vakawanda zvikuru mavanhu vangu vari mapolling agents edu nanhasi vachiri kurohwa vachidzingwa kumudzimba dzavo saka tiri kuona kuti zviri kunetsa zvikuru kana ZANU-PF iyo kana yakahwinha nemazvo sei ichishungurudza vanhu kudaro vanhu vanofanira kupuwa mukana wokusarudza vatungamiri vavo noti kufosedzerwa kuti vasarudze vanhu vezanu-PF ende kushungurudzwa uko zviri kutoratidza kuti
zvinazvinao mira mushe munyika asi sebato retripc tirikuti aiwa chisingaperi chinoshura zvichapera tingi peso all democratic and legal means to ensure kuti zvese izvo zvikupera.
That there was Triple C member and lawmaker Ellen Shiriedenga speaking to Studio 7 reporter Jeff Moyo in Harare. Please stay tuned as we take a brief break. We'll be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on all our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We're also live on YouTube at VOA Zimbabwe. Today we're discussing the continued incarceration of Triple C former lawmaker Job Sikala, who now has spent 500 days in jail without trial. We're also looking at what is coming out of the ZANU-PF conference currently underway in Gweru. And to discuss this burning topic, we are joined by Kennedy Mandaza of ZANU-PF and Barbara Gwangwara of the Triple C. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Ms. Gwangwara?
Thank you so much, Marvelous, and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, Zimbabwe.
Thank you very much. I'll start off with Mr. Mandaza, who says he doesn't have much, time with us on the program. We're looking, today you have the National Conference for ZANU-PF. What is behind the idea of this event?
It's not about an idea, but it's a fulfillment of a constitutional obligation that says that at the end of every year we take stock of what would have transpired during the course of the year. So currently the conference which is going on is taking stock of what have been going on throughout the year, but more importantly it comes at the backdrop of a resounding victory after the 23 August elections. So the conference is celebrating, and at the same time, they are taking stock of the developments and the fulfillment of the promises that were made during the 2022 election conference.
We had President Mnangagwa saying that, your party should defend the vote, and then he says your party is going to rule and rule and rule. What's your take on that?
Well, it is given that what the party is currently doing resonates with the aspirations and ideals of the people of Zimbabwe. And as a result, the party leadership has no doubt that come any other election, they will romp to victory. It is because of that the president today emphasized that for as long as we still have the interest of the people at heart and are continued to pursue programs and projects that put food on the tables of the majority of the Zimbabweans, they will continue to vote for the party and they will continue to rule and rule like what they say.
Ms. Gwangwara, if you may come in there, what's your take on what we had the president, who's also the leader of ZANU-PF, saying at this conference today, given that your party has been disputing what came out of these elections?
It's very unfortunate, Marvelous. For the starters, if you hear a person who claims to be the leader saying we shall rule and rule. You don't rule, you lead. You know, this the word alone shows that he is a person who grabbed a power by rigging the election. And we all know that Mnangagwa rigged the election. And we cannot go back to what transpired, Marvelous. We know, even the results that were announced by Zek, we know the discrepancies that were there. We know that even before the elections, the opposition was being threatened, was being assaulted. Their rallies were being barred. We've got a total of 108 rallies that was banned by the police, but we didn't even hear any ban of a ZANU-PF rally. And to say that they won resoundingly, you know, it's a fallacy. You know, it's just out of this world. Even the reports, you know, the observers, people who observed the elections, including the SADC, you know, they said the elections fell far short from the SADC guidelines. You know, even our polling agents, you know, some of the polling stations, they were not manned. Not that we did not have polling agents. They were victimized, and some were beaten, and they left the polling stations unmanned. And you believe you me, they did everything that they wanted to do, and I don't see the reason why the agents, polling agents, will be victimized when it's law that every polling station, every political party is entitled to bring their own polling agents.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. They're coming back to you, Mr. Mandaz. I know you said your time with us is very limited. We are also trying to get a hold of Farai Marapira, who is saying that we should call him. So we'll keep trying his number. But Mr. Mandaz, you heard what Ms. Gwangwara just said there from the opposition. What's your take?
Well, you see, what is quite interesting about some of the representatives of the opposition is that they come up with these insinuations and they zero on to the SADC report and many other reports that they talk about. If they are in agreement with what the SADC report said and any other report about the election, if they were in agreement, the recourse, they should have gone for recourse through the court. The fact that they did not go to the court, it means that they themselves did not agree with what was in the report, because they had no evidence whatsoever. And our advice to them is that after we have gone past the election, let us now put all our hands to the plow and make sure that we work together to improve the livelihoods of the people in Zimbabwe. We do not want to continue to be in the election mode. That is why you have seen that the president in his speech today, he asked almost every Zimbabwean to make sure that we work together in unison to improve the lives of the Zimbabweans who continue to suffer because of the politics that speak to the elections that we did not win and we want more elections and so on and so on. Yet in actual fact, our courts, or our constitution rather, allows any party that feels that the elections had been rigged to go to court, and the CCC did not do so. So our advice for now is that let us work together. Whatever, if they are for the people, then it is time for them to start to work for the development of the country so that they can get mileage if they want to be elected into power. And the ZANU-PF is saying, we will be elected into power come 2028 on the basis of the work that we are doing in order to put food on the table of the majority of the people, as well as develop Zimbabwe through infrastructure of development programs
and projects that have been initiated by the Second Republic.
Thank you very much. If I may just cut in there, we have a caller. Hello, caller from South Africa. Caller Makadi.
Ribo Makadio.
Hey, Taurightins, we took our Nani Murukupi caller.
Montana Airport in Cape Town.
Taurightins, we.
I know
PF never triple C, Sakataura, and you, Panevese.
All right. And you know, Bundrama Panimunuizan, Dokut. Are they enjoying what is happening in Kuanes, Zimbabwe, the Buddha, the Saranka, Susana, which come a Koraka for a time? There's something wrong with Zimbabwe. Because Zimbabwe is not for the NPF people only. They must know. Okay, Munuetaka Jarwaka to Munueta and Kufu, the room in Zimbabwe, it is Zimbabwe. 15 years, NPF people, they're quoted. One thing of it is Urambawaka Pati Ramu Power, Nichi Simba, Utravaka Nika Nichi Simba. To see, it's a military thing. What I shall come out on estate to benefit themselves, because they are there just to loot. We are everywhere. We are not in South Africa. We are not in Zimbabwe. There is no food. We are not in Zimbabwe. They are using my weapon. It's only few people who are protected.
Mm-hmm.
And they know those people, they are guilty. It's like they are protecting criminals. When Waripa Power is not criminals, those people, they are guilty. Like yesterday, they were supposed to be in prison.
I want to not tell that again. Funze vamandaza varipano. Vamandaza muri kunzwa zvirikutaurwa nakola. Ari kubvunza iye mibvunzo yekuti muri kuona here uwandu hwevana veZimbabwe vari kubuda kubva imo muZimbabwe. Izvi hazvisi kukatyamadza here ZANU PF nekuti nyika ndeye munhu wese?
Zvinhu zvagara zvichionekwa zvichiitika mukati menyika nekuda kwokuoma kwanga kwakaita zvinhu nekuda kwezvikonzero zvakawanda zvinosanganisira makaisi. Ndosaka mukuru wenyika ari kukurudzira kuti munhu wese ane vachizvarwa cheZimbabwe ngatiuyei tibatane maoko tishande tiri pamwe chete. Dingindira ravari kufamba naro iye zvino rinoti nyika inovakwa nevene vayo kana kuti ilizwe rakiwa navanikazi valo, vari kureva kuti isi tose ngatiuyei tivake nyika yedu. Izvi zvekuti vanhu vari kuti izvo ZANU PF iri kutidzinga mukati menyika ayo manyepo, nekuti mukuru wenyika neZANU PF yachena iri kuti uyai tishande tiri pamwe chete, mumwe nemumwe achiedza paanoita. Tikanga tichienda kunze tichinotukirira tisingabatsirane kuvaka nyika yedu, tinoramba tichingopomedzerana kuti uyaita zvakati, uyaita zvakati. Ivava vari kuCape Town ngavauye kumusha vatsvage nzira dzekuti vararame varimo, nekuti South Africa's statistics office yakati mune vanhu vari kuzikanwa vanosvika 1 million maZimbabweans. Ngavadzoke kumusha kana vakuona kuti vanoda kuuya, hakuna ari kurambidzwa. Ngavauye vapinde mumining, vapinde mufarming, vaite zvavanogonaiwa kuti tikwanise kuita nyika yedu ibudirire.
Mm-hmm. While I still have you, we see that some news organizations, including VOA Zimbabwe Service, popularly known as Studio 7, which is ourselves, were denied accreditation to cover the conference, the ZANU PF conference. What do you think is happening here?
Obviously, those who wanted to take part in the elections are supposed to go through accreditation. And it is the responsibility of the information and publicity department, together with the external affairs department, who oversees the accreditation of all of those interested to cover the conference. But we must also know that when conference is taking place, there are times when they are allowed to be in the conference
And there are other times when they are supposed not to be in the conference. Like from 2:30 today, they were not supposed to be there. After the president had spoken, it was time for the party to look into itself in the absence of the media. And tomorrow they will be allowed to go in when the president gives the final remarks together with the resolutions that the party would have made. And I would want to believe that those representing Studio 7 and any other media house will be allowed into the conference for as long as they've been accredited.
But Mr. Mandasa, they were actually denied accreditation. But anyway, let me give that question to Ms. Gwangwara. Any comments on your perspective on why these journalists were barred from covering ZANU-PF National Conference when government actually accredited these people as journalists?
Yeah, it's not even surprising, marvelous, because the lack of media reforms is what gives ZANU-PF all these powers to do what they are doing, because journalists are allowed to be anywhere, everywhere, anytime. Even in the war zone, we see journalists covering every beat and part of the war. Denying media houses access to their conference, it really shows what they are made of, and they don't even, you know, there's something that they are hiding. It's ZANU-PF believes in propaganda, so they don't want people that are going to report as it is. That's why you see ZBC every time when they report, they are biased. They don't want independent media houses. Anyone who reports negatively, or anyone who reports exactly what would have transpired, they are deemed to be championing regime.
Thank you there, Ms. Gwangwara. Thank you, Ms. Gwangwara. Hello, Mr. Mandasa. I just wanted to ask you one more question before I let you go. Discuss now Mr. Job Sikala's incarceration, 500 days without trial. What is your comment, Mr. Mandasa?
Before I give a comment on that, I would like to correct Ms. The
Gwangwara.
Member, Ms. Gwangwara, that ZANU-PF is an institution on its own, a political party which makes decisions in the same manner that the CCC does. She would recall that at one point, CCC was choosing those who would attend its functions. And among the media houses that were denied permission to go into rallies and even conferences of CCC, and MDC then was the Herald, and others were excluded.
Thank you.
It is not something that is new to ZANU-PF. I think it chooses who to be in the conference.
Thank you very much there for enlightening us. But if you could just comment on the incarceration of Mr. Sikala, 500 days in.
All right. On the question of Job Sikala, I think the courts, the issues that Job Sikala is being tried on are before the courts. And I think our courts have a duty and the responsibility to make sure that they preside over any issue that is given to them. And they would want to believe that whatever they are doing, it is within the Constitution. And if ever Job Sikala is going to be acquitted, it will be done according to when due process has been done.
Thank you there, Mr. Mandasa. Ms. Gwangwara, if you can also comment on the incarceration of Job Sikala, who's a part of your party, 500 days in.
Yes, the incarceration, the continued incarceration of Job Sikala without trial for more than 500 days is a clear indication that Job Sikala is not a criminal. He did not commit any offense. He is a political.
Thank you.
He is a political victim. But marvelous, You're saying thank you when...
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, time is not on our side, so I have to wrap you up there. That brings us to the end of our show. Signing off in Washington, I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.